What happened?
Oh, these hippie weirdos, they broke into my house.
Is everybody okay?
Well, the f***ing hippies aren't. That's for damn sure. But I'm fine.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
That's my corn out there. You guys are guests in my corn.
No, this is no good.
We're going for a ride.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH. Yeah, that's all I can tell you is... So the agent says to the guy, that's an astounding act. What do you call it? And the guy goes, the aristocrats. Have you ever seen that documentary, Producer Greg? It's AM 770 KTTH, for instance, here on the Project Friday. Ever seen the documentary?
I know of the joke in which you speak.
My God. That's all I can say is don't watch it. If you don't absolutely... If you have a line where no one should go, I mean, think behavior, anything, don't watch that movie. But it's a movie about different comedians telling the same joke, and it's the comedian's joke. It's called The Aristocrats. And if you can get, I'll tell you what, the penultimate one is Drew Carey from Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, he gets to say that in the documentary, but not on The Price is Right. My God, no. But the ultimate one
Bob Saget?
Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, right.
And it's like a month after 9/11, and he tells it at a roast. And he says, I'm bombing here. I am bombing. And the second he says the first line, family walks into a theatrical booking agent's office, the whole place goes up because they know what's coming. And if you can get through, you can see just that on YouTube. We can't play 5 seconds of it.
Well, the whole point of the joke is strictly shock value and disgust, which is supposed to equate.
But
to
also, as the documentary points out, you get through all that, but then you got to deliver the punchline. And the punchline is the aristocrats. And there you go. But if I recommend it to anyone
who's disgusting,
but if you can get through that documentary and get it, then you're free to amble up to me and sit down and say, howdy, stranger. Are you the guy that recommended the aristocrats on that? I met a friend of a friend yesterday. Very interesting guy. Very interesting life story. Retired special forces guy, born and raised in Albania. I mean, he had stories. So we had stories, and someday when the FCC, when President Bergam gets rid of the FCC, or President Ramaswamy gets rid of the FCC, you'll be able to hear it. Well, I have 700 new words that I'm going to be reading. Merriam-Webster has revealed 700 new words, sports terms, and social media phrases.
This is exciting.
Yeah. Yes or no. Beast mode. Now in the dictionary. Hang on to that, by the way. Yes or no. Goated. Yes or no. Frenulator. Yes or no. Bracketology. So anyway, if you know what any of those words are, chances are they're in the stop freaking. They're in the dictionary and stuff. Well, enough dancing around it. Here's what we've unwrapped so far today. And First Avenue South, nasty accident. I'll tell you why it triggered me when we come back after this morning montage for 09/28/2023.
Let's do this.
Girl, we want a montage. Matter. Between business in China, everybody knows that.
For months, the Seattle Police Department has been investigating a string of home invasions in these four South Seattle zip codes.
Thank you for speaking while I'm interrupting.
And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
The pitcher, after striking him out, made some reaction or said something to him in Spanish. And
as the UN ambassador,
bring it,
put $50,000.
No, they're all job candidates. They want to be in the, they'll do anything. Secretary of something. They even say VP. I don't know. Does anybody see any VP in the group? I don't think so.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line.
Though we've never had an official dress code, the events over the past week have made us all feel as though formalizing it is the right way forward.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, well, the garbage store called and they're out of you. Or whatever. The jerk store called and they're out of you. Anyway, I didn't pay this off. So listen to this Axeman. You know, here in Seattle, people know a good guitar when they hear it. And
now can't you see? I got $700. Don't you mess with me.
And here's a clue. The guitar player, the blues guitar player, is also singing, and he's an appointed official in, of the executive branch of the United States government.
That's not him on lead, though. Important clarification. You mean on lead guitar? He's playing rhythm.
Oh, okay.
He's not wailing.
Well, so he, so maybe they should call him Secretary of Rhythm or something.
Nicely done. It's impossible for me to be objective on this one as a guitar player and singer myself. I got to hand it to our Secretary of State. That's not too shabby.
Tony Blinken, a man known for his brief but tough talk.
But he's starting a thing called music diplomacy, and it's in an effort to bridge divides.
But he's got $700. Don't come messing with me.
$700.
This is what he's going to say to the Chinese foreign minister. But he's not. He's going to say he's got $400. Don't mess with
channeling his inner Muddy Waters.
Yeah, so, and I...
But I'm, you're not a fan.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not a fan of a State Department that really thinks that American culture has to be exported. American culture is the dominant popular culture in most of the world's English-speaking countries, okay? That's that. There's a country to the north of us that where people tunnel out and they populate Hollywood with very funny people. Your Martin Short, your Jim Carrey, you know, and your Michael J. Fox, your Ryan Reynolds. American, anyone who grows up with American culture, meaning everyone, like all of K-pop is just imitating American culture.
Right.
And we go, oh, the Koreans are really overtaking us on culture. Really?
Backstreet Boys in sync, wow, boy band
phenomenon. A group of effeminate looking men dancing in rhythm, and everything's a slow song. The female K-pop singers rock. Those are great songs. But Korean cinema dominating China and the whole thing, that's American cinema. That Korean cinema is American cinema. Just the fact that the State Department doesn't know this is what kills me about it.
Well, my parents visited Germany a few years back during Oktoberfest, and they visited one of those massive tents where everybody's just guzzling beer steins. And my dad
In September.
That's right, the end of September. My dad said the entire time, thousands of Germans were just singing classic American pop songs the whole time,
yeah,
in English.
In 1989, as... East Germany was de-easting itself. The song that they were singing was not "Proud to Be an American" or something. It was David Hasselhoff's. I forget what it's called. Never a hit in America, but they loved Hasselhoff in both Germanies, in good Germany and evil Germany. And he did a song that became the theme of the East German, you know, absorption into West Germany. And it's virtually unknown in this country because it doesn't mean anything to us. But in my time, from equatorial Africa to parts of Asia or whatever, I know what the kids are listening to. And they now that Chinese foreign policy porn is now a genre of wolf warrior porn is a genre of Chinese cinema. The problem is they're doing these movies where they're supposed to be saving, you know, the poor starving little African children from NATO or whatever. But the kids that they cast as extras are wearing Lakers jerseys. They're wearing Kobe Bryant jerseys. And very quietly, they've been told, hey, these American references, get them out. The problem is the number one TV sport in China is basketball, and they didn't invent it. And if you look on Google Earth, like some of us dorks do, at Chinese military facilities and zoom in, you'll see that 10-1 basketball courts over soccer fields or tennis courts. Basketball, basketball, basketball. And the when Yao Ming was a Houston Rocket, that's when the NBA got addicted to Chinese money on that because 300 million people were watching, you know, his Sunday afternoon games, meaning before the playoffs or whatever. And, you know, American culture is, I mean, it drowns out native culture in a lot of places, and they don't like that. And so just the fact that the State Department spends a dollar, like, exporting blues, like, that's how you got the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, because they were playing that on the radio in Britain. They were playing Muddy Water. They were playing American blues, and they were playing American R&B singers on the radio that weren't even being played on the radio in America. And, you know, there's regulations in Canada about how much American content a radio station can play or a TV station can play, because otherwise everything would be American. I mean, not a joke. And the main radio station we could get in Port Angeles was CFOX. It was like 99.7. And they were drowning out KISW because they were weasels. But the majority, like 75% of their content was Canadian, which, by the way, if you go down the list of Canadian bands, you know, it's impressive, right? I mean, if I had you at Bachman Turner Overdrive, boy, shot. Chaser is Chilliwack.
The Guess Who, Bare Naked Ladies, Arcade Fire. Yeah,
great, great musicians up
in
Canada. Don't
forget Nickelback.
But that's the problem, is that it's not what people want to hear. And so the government puts a artificial limit on how much you can play. We should go to war with Nickelback on that. Take them back, Canada.
Yeah, if Blinken would have played that live yesterday, then you'd have World War III.
But no, I mean, it just seems to me as naive that the State Department is promoting American culture. It's like, haven't you traveled? Haven't you been around? Haven't you got in a cab and the guy is playing Beastie Boys, you know, or whatever, and he's badly mispronouncing and he's getting all the words wrong? So anyway, just a common traveler's experience. And so that's why when the Secretary of State is introducing the blues to America, and then, by the way, the song is Hoochie Coochie Man, and I never want to hear George Marshall or George Shultz or any other past secretary or Hillary or John Kerry say, I'm your Hoochie Coochie Man. I'm your Hoochie Coochie chap. So there you go.
Would you advance him to the next round of American Idol? Or is he a little pitchy dog?
What's it called? WYSIWYG? White guy with a guitar? That's who wins. That's who always wins.
He is hiding behind the dude who is absolutely shredding, which can cover up.
That's the word we're looking for, shredding.
Yeah, there you go.
So again, Anthony Blinken with the rhythm. And he has $700, so he's going to kick China's ass.
I got $700. Don't you mess with me.
Yeah, so anyway, there's that guy. Well, I got to tell you, my radar these days, my radar is up. When a vehicle hits and kills a pedestrian or someone on a bike, I just have a spidey sense that there's a bizarre TikTok challenge happening. And so this morning, and we weren't talking about it, but there was a pedestrian versus Camaro accident on First Avenue South. First Avenue South was closed for the homicide investigation. And the whole thing. And I'm like, please don't be a hit and run. Because, see, if this is the case, the entire point of it is to video it and then drive away nonchalantly, because that's what the guys in Vegas did. And teenage boys, as I say, unoriginal. But then this I also know, teenage boys are not out on a rainy 5:30 a.m. Seattle. So that was the one thing. So what was the reality?
The medical examiner's office is left. A lot of the crime tape is down now, and you can see northbound traffic into the city is moving along. Here's the orange car involved in the crash. I want to be able to kind of paint the picture for you, because the medical examiner's office has taken the body away from the scene here. So essentially, from what we understand, SPD was called here to the scene of this crash on First Avenue South here between Lucille and Finley. It was about 5:30 this morning. We're told that when police arrived, Seattle fire crews were already here trying to.
So they're towing away a car. It's like a red Trans Am or Camaro, late 90s vintage body style. And there's a clear dent in the hood. The fiberglass bumper is cracked and tragically killed someone. And I know at five, this is the thing that I know is that if not for the fact that I pay attention when I drive at 4:15 in the morning. I just don't want to be this story.
Help a woman who had been hit by this car. She was pronounced dead on the scene. So we're told that the man who was driving the car, a 64-year-old man, was driving southbound here on 1st Avenue South when he hit the woman. So what's not clear at this point is why that woman was in the road in the first place, where she was going. But what investigators found was that the man driving the vehicle apparently was showing signs of impairment.
Yeah. So anyway, that's welcome to what I get to drive around in the morning. But I mean, both hazards are what I'm facing, and I don't take the big fancy Mercer exit like a certain producer does.
Excuse me.
I go up a little more and I take Lakeview, which is the one between Mercer and the Ship Canal Bridge. That's the pros exit.
I'm a convert
to get here.
I'm a convert to Lakeview exit.
Have you had the experience yet?
I've tried it. Yeah, and
have you seen the vagrants?
I take a look at our homeless neighbors.
And they do have a propensity to look down as they walk, not hear cars, and just cross the street where they feel like crossing the street. And that can be Lakeview, go down, then go down to East Lake. It's a badly lit road. Quaintly covered in trees, East Lake is. It's part of East Lake, and I mean, they don't go to bed till like six or till they sell their stolen mountain bike or whatever. But I don't want to be that headline. I don't want to be that guy, and so that's why when I exit Lakeview, starting at the exit, because they're right at the exit. It's like Last of Us or Walking Dead or something. And one time I had to swerve to miss some raccoons, and I was relieved that it wasn't a meth head or whatever. So, so First Avenue is now open. I was surprised at how many people who drives into Seattle on First Avenue. That's, I mean, well, because I'm not on I-5 at 6 a.m., so that's what that guy says. I mean, it's a relief. It's an arterial. It's a major street, but as you know, when you're south. When you're south of Lumen, you're in a different world, and just don't go to Belltown. Don't be Solu before the sun's up. Just not exactly the fish throwing part of Seattle. Not exactly bumping back into Monday Night Football for that. Well, so that was the thing. My challenge is, if you've seen the video, then tell me what the deal is. But your Hector Neris is they're not saying at all. They're just saying that somebody, one of these yokels from Houston, uttered a homophobic slur to our very own Julio Rodriguez. We just don't know what it was. And they're not going to say what it was. Only that's all you have to know. Is that it wasn't DEI. It was a non-woke slur that was uttered in the 206 area code by a foreigner because he was
trying to hit into a double play.
Because a year ago, Julio hit an unnecessary home run. It made a 6-0 game into a 7-0 game off of Neris, and he partied all the way around the base paths. And Neris took that pretty personal because it was his home field.
Pitch. Swing and a miss. Neris pumped up. And he is going to say something to Julio Rodriguez on his way off the mound. He was...
Boy, that is hanging on too tight. That's holding a grudge like Bin Laden or something. I'll get you, West. Isn't that crazy? That home run in 2022, less than a year old, but you're a professional pitcher. People will hit home runs off of you. And when you're a rookie, Julio Rodriguez, and you want that $300 million contract, yes, you're going to party. But holding on to it and then coming at him.
Neris with a kind of taunting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Taunting. He did a Roger Clemens. It was a purposeful stride. He didn't charge him or anything like that.
Pitch. Swing and a miss. Neris pumped up. And he is going to say something to Julio Rodriguez on his way off the mound.
Well, let's just hope it doesn't objectify anyone. Let's hope it's a woke phrase.
He was pumped up and walked in at Julio Rodriguez, and now the benches are going to clear.
You're a bad pothead. You don't recycle.
Yeah, I'm not.
You probably don't have a bike. So anyway.
And before we go to break, let's check in on the GOP debate, which I think is still going on.
It's not the fault of anybody who's involved.
Some of us are tainted.
Excuse me. Thank you for speaking while I'm interrupting.
Literally.
While I'm speaking.
Well, you said by paper.
If I may finish.
Oh, wait, but Mike Pence had the line of the night, everybody.
Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line.
So there you go. That was great. How do you think of that? That is quick. Back in a second with the checking of the texting, 800-465-8770-KTTH. Second wave of the Manchester Revolution, New Order, AM 770 KTTH. Pretty good crap of texts. I'm only five into them. I like them all. And so you know what that means here at on AM 770 KTTH. Brian sits here with producer Greg. It is time for a checking of your texting. None of them on topic, by the way. And I also speaking of on topic, the new words that you may or may not know in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Grandma in Pierce County says, when I was in Beijing entering the Forbidden City, the guards were outside the gates were playing basketball. And then 714, I can confirm from my trip to Beijing that the Chinese military loved their basketball. The problem is that they're the biggest bricklayers ever. No arc in any shot I saw. If they shoot artillery like this, Taiwan has nothing to worry about. Well, they don't. And 562, an area code in California, I don't know about. Someone caught me. Did you just not a joke Biden-ess? I about snorted coffee out of my snot locker. Yeah, and because it takes so long sometimes to find the drops, sometimes I'll just say, hey, distracting, because then it's me saying it. This one really hits us where we live. 840 area code says, physically, Mike Pence reminds me of that hot dude from Johnny Quest. Of course, she means Rex. Or, I mean, wait, what was his name? The adult in the room.
Say what now?
In Johnny Quest? Yeah, it was Rex, right?
I don't know Johnny Quest.
How do you have this job?
Okay, I didn't know it was a prerequisite.
Mike Pence reminds me of that hot dude from Johnny Quest. Then he opens his mouth. I swear it's enough to make girl bits.
Did you screen this?
Well, I'm going to screen out the last two words. But it does something to, quote, girl bits, close quote.
Thanks.
Honestly, I suspect he self-flagellates and wears hair shirts. Is Pence Catholic?
No, he's not Catholic.
But he probably still does.
He's Christian.
Yeah, he strips his down to the waist and whips his back or whatever. Then someone's bust me on something. Good morning, Brian. Andy in the 619 says, good morning, Brian. In my opinion, the frequency that you have used the crowd of Venezuelans drop yesterday and today qualifies you as a sadistic necrophiliac equophile. So you know what that means.
Wow.
I'm beating a dead horse.
From the 206, I had the solution to the debates in 2016. Make it a little more like a TV show. Each candidate is in a thick, clear plastic cube with speakers and microphone, and everyone can see the countdown timer. At the end of their time, the cube is sealed shut until it's their turn again.
Then it releases the hundreds, and you got to grab
phoning a friend really worth it. It's sort of like that movie quiz show, or the way they used to do quiz shows in the 50s. Where
yeah,
you
we couldn't hear the other guy's response.
That's right.
253 is calling you out. Can we get the pod upload for hour one, please?
It's up. Dear Lord.
Good golly.
Patience, people. From the 912, hi, guys. Brian, the reason many of us listen to you is because of your military history and geopolitical expertise. Many of us have kids who are serving in the military. I have two myself. A vet has two serving. I'm looking to you to comment on how they will be affected if the government shutdown were to occur. Pay, deployments, etc. I've yet to hear anybody really comment on this.
Hey, I can't sit with your nose there. Anyway, thank you for the text. Well, I mean, bottom line is, for the first time ever, they are going to defund or not pay the military on Sunday, which is day one of the fiscal 2024. And usually it's a direct deposit at midnight, whether it's your VA. My government money is usually in like 3 a.m. 4 a.m. Why do I know that? Because I'm usually up at 4 a.m. on the first of the month, at least, you know, 5 days of the week. And same with military pay. Now that it's pure direct deposit, it goes in on the first day of the month. And if that first day I want to say if that first day is a Sunday, they do it on Friday. If it's a Saturday, then screw you. That's why. So they're not going to be paid, which is the first time that's the executive branch can make that go away. But they're doing it so that they can say to the Republicans, here's what you get for an impeachment inquiry. And now you guys own it. So that's where I would tell the Republicans, you know, that's checkmate at that point. But just say it out loud. Say, look, this is what the president says. He's not going to pay his own military because we don't hate Yanni enough or whatever. And did Mike Pence ever finish the joke?
Belongs on the unemployment line.
Yeah, there you go. So, but yeah, that for real is going to happen. During non-times of war, the Coast Guard is part of Homeland Security, not the Navy. They're not going to be paid. If you're downrange, it's not like they're going to, you know, pull your food tray for not paying the school for, you know, your school lunch. You know, everything is going to happen. If you're deployed, you can still fight the enemy and kill them. It's customary. But you're just not going to see and I got to say, this is why this is really reckless, because someone who's deployed is counting on their spouse and kids to have that money on the first of the month. Should they have money, in the bank or in the Menendez or whatever? Yes, they should. But people in hell should get ice water. OK, lots and lots of E5 and below, married with two kids. Yeah, they have their housing paid for. They're getting the BAH, basic allowance for housing. None of that's going in. And so your neighbor in Steilacoom or DuPont or whatever, they might appreciate a little loan from you. They're certainly not going to come knock on your door. But I mean, that's why you don't do this. And especially the guy with the family who's deployed, you leave everything with the spouse, power of attorney, everything, and you count on that money to be in the bank on the first of the month. It's not going to be in the bank. Now, and that's the president pulling the purse strings. That's who's responsible. That is an astoundingly, boy, what's the word I'm looking for?
Distracting.
That's the word. Thank you, Christian. When you're downrange, in a perfect world, you don't think about anything that's happening back home. But especially if there's, marital stuff, suspicions and all that, that will get somebody killed. It's such a distraction. I had a guy come home to Bremerton, and all of his stuff was in a pile in the garage because the new husband, his stuff was in the living room and in the bedroom and the whole thing. And he knew this was going on. It's not good. It's just not good. That's why they've never done it until this president. He's saying to Congress, say, okay, you shut down government, but you know these are the people you're affecting. And then they're lecturing us about Tommy Tuberville, who's doing something dumb, but the countermeasure is instead of voting for every two-star general to become a three-star general, which doesn't affect readiness in any way, shape, or form, they're having to do it individually. And the whole thing about, well, there's been a commandant of the Marine Corps for 150 years, but the new nominee hasn't been voted in. Oh, you know what? The Marine Corps is not complaining that there's a lack of a commandant. Okay, it's an administrative thing, and now they have a commandant. But boy, I tell you what, you stop that direct deposit on Sunday, and you're affecting people that are downrange. And by the way, like special forces guys that are downrange, overwhelmingly married family men, and they're already stressed out because they've already been told by Department of the Army, you're not going to be paid on Sunday morning. You're not going to have, if you're relying on that check, that ain't going to be there. And so anyway, I find it upsetting, but anyway.
Hey, distracting.
And I know who's, like I say, it's never been done before. I was when Newt Gingrich shut Congress down, I was in the Balkans and I got paid. And there's that. If I hadn't got paid, I didn't have a family back in Portland. I wasn't like, oh, but I was. I had an auto debit from my account. The woman totally wrong for me that I wasted 10 years with was watching my dogs in Logan, Utah. And I was paying her. I was way overpaying her because I wanted Buddy and Newman to be treated right. And she did. But if that money had not, it's not like she would have sold them for organ transplant or something, but I mean, it's that when that money goes in, your house payment, you know, your mortgage is pinged off that, whatever. Well, by the way, family support, plenty of people in the military divorce downrange, they're auto debiting their pay for family support. When that payment, if that's missed by 48 hours, there's some evil skanks out there that immediately will lawyer up and get you for non-support, for non-payment. Well, then that comes back to you, and they pull your – this really can happen. You missed your alimony or your child support because they didn't put the money in the account. Now that woman – and, you know, oddly enough, occasionally some women hold a grudge against their ex-husbands. They go to court, and they say non-payment. Non-payment, when you're downrange, when you're deployed, they pull your clearance. They pull your security clearance. So it literally, if you need the connection, that is how that can affect readiness. In reality, that can affect readiness on the retail end, you know, the next day. And I wasn't divorced, but I saw it happen. You know, I saw it happen because some women hold a grudge, especially in the Richland Tri-Cities area that I can – anyway let me hit this on the way out.
Hey, distracting.
All right, back in a second. AM 770 KTTH. Take that, dead horse. Anyway, AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and the first hearing in the inquiry into impeachment is undergoing televisioning right now. And I got to say, when Jim Jordan's on the screen, I turn the volume up, right? So because the White House has been pushing back on this, going, what do they want to impeach him for? There's nothing. Well, hence the inquiry. They did one for Trump, only the one administrative thing is, what's his name, that Raskin guy. The White House has been giving him these talking points, as well as MSNBC and CNN, which is to say, what are they even looking at? And really what this starts at is that video where Joe Biden, I mean, he was a dimwit before he was senile, okay? So not a good combo. So back in 2015, he did that sit down with Richard Haass, chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he talked about what a badass he was for going to Ukraine, and that prosecutor that was investigating corruption. I said, you have until the end of the day, or else I'm going to withhold a billion. He had no right to threaten to withhold $1 billion of already apportioned aid that was going to Ukraine. But he tells that triumphant story about what a foreign policy guru he is. And he says, and I said, you got to fire that prosecutor before, you know, I'm gone at the end of the day in 8 hours. And then he goes in, son of a bitch, he did it. And that's a big punchline to the crowd, because no one is shocked by the fact that the vice president has no such authority to be in Ukraine and to make such a threat and interfere. I mean, the prime directive, he's interfering with Romulan internal activities. And he dictated whether or not you fire a guy that the U.S. State Department had been praising for fighting corruption. So Jordan puts it together. He puts it all together in the TikTok of this. I mean, the chronology. And I'm sorry, this is a minute long. Or is it? But he puts it together here because the Democrats are all saying, I mean, what is this even about? There's not even an appearance of corruption. I mean, so listen to this.
He leveraged $1 billion of American tax money, and he did so at a time when our government was supportive of the prosecutor. Here's what our government said. The Assistant Secretary of State, we have been impressed with the ambitious reform and anti-corruption agenda of your government, written to the prosecutor general, who Joe Biden leverages our money to get fired. The United States fully supports your efforts to fight corruption, she further wrote. The Interagency Policy Committee said this on October 1st, 2015. The IPC recommends moving forward with a third loan guarantee to Ukraine in the near term. And even after Joe Biden gives the speech on December 9th, the European Commission said, their report said the anti-corruption benchmark is deemed to have been achieved for Ukraine. But the most telling evidence is what his business partner said.
Okay, so to catch you up, the money had been budgeted because they had been hitting their benchmarks on fighting corruption. And the guy that was doing it was the federal prosecutor, the equivalent of the Merrick Garland of Ukraine. And he was rooting out corruption in corporations and government, the whole thing. It was working to the point where the U.S. government that's holding the purse string says, okay, we certify they can get the $1 billion. And Joe Biden magically said to fire the guy. So so whenever the audit for the Ukraine war of American aid comes down, just recall that this happened. So this is, anyway, back to Jim Jordan. He'll tie it up with a nice bow here.
Devin Archer, when we deposed him under oath just 2 months ago, said this. Here's the question. The request was help from the United States government to deal with the pressure they were under from their prosecutor. You know what Mr. Archer's response was? That's correct. Next question. What did Hunter Biden do after he was given that request? He called his dad. That's what we're investigating. That's one of the three things Professor Turley talked about.
There you go. And remember, Devin Archer was the other guy on the board of Burisma. And so clearly there was some dinner meeting or something that got speakerphoned, and they said, we got to get rid of this prosecutor because we're trying to skim as much money as we can out of these clowns. But these Americans and this anti-corruption thing are getting in our way. Archer, do you agree? And Archer says, yeah. And he says, well, Hunter, what do you think?
You know what Mr. Archer's response was? That's correct. Next question. What did Hunter Biden do after he was given that request? He called his dad. That's what we're investigating.
Because there was an exchange yesterday. Some freshman from Missouri, freshman Republican from Missouri, who should never be answering questions again. An NBC guy, in some of the documents that they released the other day, there was a WhatsApp message from Hunter about the family brand. About, oh, I don't want to sign off the family brand. And the guy's question was, well, this is June of 2017. I mean, how does this add up? And the guy didn't know the chronology. And the report, the NBC guy is asking these questions. And the guy says, who are you with? And he goes, well, MSNBC. And he goes, well, you're not going to believe me anything I say anyway. And he comes back and says, well, you're the ones who released this. And he goes, you know, Joe Biden wasn't he wasn't running for anything in 2017. And the guy's lost. He's like, what? He goes, his campaign started in 2019. And instead of saying, who cares? He was vice president 6 months before. he doesn't even know to say that. He just says, he goes to a next question. And that's all over CNN and MSNBC today. Look at those stupid Republicans, don't know what they're doing. And I mean, what even do they have? And they're trying to play that because there's a rumor that they're going to fly that prosecutor that got fired because Joe Biden blackmailed him after his son called and said, we got to get that prosecutor fired. That would appear to be what was said because that's the result. But the guy's retired now. They're going to fly him out of Ukraine and bring him to sit down there. And that's totally. Do you remember that moment in Godfather 2 when Frankie Pentangeli, who's going to turn, he's in witness protection and he's going to testify to the Senate. And then Michael brings his brother, his older brother from Sicily. And all he has to do is sit there in the gallery. And Frankie Pentangeli looks behind him, sees his older brother, and he knows it's over. I can't be a rat. I got to kill myself on this one. And that's, so anyway, that's before they vote on impeachment. But I mean, for people that are trying to figure out the chronology of this, this is back in 2015. The prosecutor is effective. Burisma, the board of Burisma says this guy's killing us. That's why they have Hunter on the board. And Archer, when he testified 3 months ago, he said, "Yep,
that's correct."
That's correct. I mean, not yep, but That's correct.
Next question. What did Hunter Biden do after he was given that request? He called his dad.
Boy, I don't see any smoke there. So anyway, now that you see it in a compact little package like Jim Jordan there. And so I'll waive the blazer requirement. I'll let there be one member of the House that rolls the sleeves up. And that's a far more palatable act than the hoodie in the hallway or whatever they call that look. So there you go. And that will not be on MSNBC. It will not be on CNN, and it won't be on CBS, where those networks are all absolutely certain that when you get the vaccine, you can't be contagious. And that there's no smoke. There's nothing, no indications. It's just circumstantial. You know, he's a son who's undergoing some crises. Of course, Joe answers the phone because he's his only surviving son since the other son died on Iwo Jima or whatever. And so that's all it is, as the father who's concerned about his son. And that's what they're portraying. That. So they hate this. And this is not part of the narrative. So anyway, I'm going to save this as Jordan. Why is this kind of like a Why We Fight movie from World War II? Some might say.
What did Hunter Biden do after he was given that request? He called his dad.
Take that, Mr. Tojo. Anyway, Practice Friday, I think 90% good. I would say if there's a 10% that I wouldn't hang my hat on a repeat tomorrow, it was in the first hour. What's your hot wash on this?
I give us a 7.8 out of 10.
You know, the reason I'm going to say 80% is because I have the words and I haven't paid this off. 700 new words, including, I gave some of them, bracketology, goated. But you know what kind of blows me away? Beast mode. If you're not freaking because he called Beacon, shouldn't you get a piece of that action? If a word... that you sort of two words that you didn't invent, but you put them together, and then you wrote the check and the check cashed. You should get a piece of that. Beast mode defines, quote, an extremely aggressive or energetic style or manner that someone, such as an athlete, adopts temporarily (parentheses) as to overpower an opponent in a fight or competition. Marshawn Lynch. How about showing up on a seismometer? How about that? So you know who won beast mode.
That's what we're investigating. That's one of the three things Professor Turley talked about.
Yeah, there we go. So
he called his dad.
I love that. So if you think I beat the Venezuelans to death, then you love this tomorrow.
He called his dad.
Yeah. So there we go. All right. I went on beast mode with all the drops today. Be good. Be safe when it rains. Slow down, turn on your lights, and we'll see you all alive here tomorrow at 6 a.m. AM 770 KTTA. Thanks to producer Greg. We'll see you all tomorrow at Dark Secret Place all day long. Tomorrow on the radio at 6 a.m. AM or streaming at AM 770 KTTA.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Try again tomorrow.
Goodbye.